Your heart. It's the only one you have. Fortunately, you also have a choice. Expert cardiologists, talented surgeons, highly skilled specialists, all of whom chose WakeMed. Why? The main reason is the same reason patients choose WakeMed. Everything you need for the best possible care is right here. Learn more at WakeMed.org. WakeMed Heart and Vascular Physicians. Your heart, your choice.
Murph, we're going to talk about the money. Philip Isley, chairman of the Centennial Authority, is going to join us in studio at 3:30. He's going to talk not only just the latest on sports betting here in the state of North Carolina, but changes in and around PNC Arena. So we're going to hit all that at 3:30 today.
Yeah, Philip's in the middle of it all. He's down there at the General Assembly. He's also part of these negotiations with the Hurricanes to get a long-term lease done with them in PNC Arena, plus renovations at PNC and development downtown and sports books and all that fun stuff. All the stuff that brings in the money.
All the stuff that brings in the money. But you know who's looking to cash in right now? College baseball. Because right now things are going on in the college world. Not the World Series officially yet, but it's the NCAA baseball tournament. It's happening right now. Regional action underway, including down in Columbia, South Carolina. We have NC State taking on Campbell. Campbell's the 2 seed in that regional. The 3 seed in that region is NC State. Right now, NC State in the bottom of the 6th inning. Campbell's up at bat, but NC State leads this one 3-1 in a very, very tightly contested game.
Yeah, some great defensive plays throughout the first couple innings by NC State to keep them in the lead. But right now, Campbell's got a little bit of a rally going. Two men on, two men out, down two. So a lot of 8 North Carolina teams in this tournament. Duke is beating UNCW right now. North Carolina plays later this evening. We got East Carolina. We got Charlotte. Lots and lots of teams.
Wake Forest, number one overall seed.
Of course, Wake Forest. Overall
number one
seed.
Can't forget about them.
Probably the most likely of all these teams to be playing next weekend is Wake Forest.
Well, we talked to Darren Vaught earlier this week when the regions came out, and he actually felt that the winner of this NC State-Campbell game had a legit chance of getting through this region. They thought they both had a really good draw because South Carolina sputtered a little bit. The South Carolina being the number one seed in this region, sputtered a little bit late in the season. And Campbell actually thought, we talked to Justin Hare earlier this week, he said, yeah, felt like we got screwed out of hosting a regional. So a little bit of a chip on the Campbell's shoulder, or on their hump, I guess you could say, however you want to define it. But nevertheless, he feels the winner of this matchup has a legit chance of getting through this regional and even getting to Omaha.
Yeah, and the Iowa-UNC game, that's a 2-3 matchup in that regional.
Yeah, and Indiana State.
Indiana State's the one. Again, I've seen a lot of people who think the winner of the Iowa-UNC game has a really good chance of getting out of that regional. Part of that is probably some bias against Indiana State, even though they had a great RPI, great regular season, not a traditional power. And so you look at a team like that, and could North Carolina get to the Super Regional?
A lot to be determined, but it's a fun day. Speaking of Indiana State in that regional, by the way, they're trailing Wright State 5-3 in the top of the 8th inning.
Really open the regional up for North Carolina and or Iowa.
It definitely could. And Duke, as you mentioned, has a 6-3 lead over UNC Wilmington. That's in the top of the 7th inning, so UNC Wilmington is at bat right now. But some conversations right now in the Campbell NC State game about a hit by pitch potentially. But there was a moment in the top of the 5th inning where NC State had bases loaded. They're up 3-0, and the starting pitcher for Campbell got out of that jam with a 3-pitch strikeout. And I was thinking, you know what? If that could be a momentum swing in Campbell's favor. They've got a run on the board since and could tack on a little bit more. We'll keep you updated throughout the show here in terms of scores and everything happening here today in regards to teams in the state of North Carolina, college baseball. Love it. It's a lot of fun going on right now. But other championships are taking place, Brian Murphy. NBA Finals, we had game one last night. Nuggets won by 10, though that score is a little bit more skewed. I think it was much more in control that game. Denver had it for much throughout. But Nikola Jokic, triple-double, go figure. It's like another day. Just another day for Nikola Jokic. Just has a triple-double in his NBA Finals debut. And the impressive part about that game was he didn't attempt his first field goal until like literally the last 12 seconds of the first quarter.
Yeah, he's one of the few players in the NBA that can dominate without scoring. They simply run their offense through their center, which is, you know, doesn't happen a lot in the NBA anymore either.
No.
And not really in the low post, right at the foul line. And people are just whirling around him, and he finds the open guy, finds the advantage almost every time. I think he had 14 assists.
27 points, 10 rebounds, 14 assists. Again, a 104-93 win for the Denver Nuggets.
Yeah, Denver led by about 24 at some point
game. They controlled that game throughout. I was wondering if fatigue from a seven-game series for Miami. Again, they're up 3-0 against Boston, 3-0. It's like, oh, crap, we're in game seven on the road. And then you have to go to Denver in altitude and have to go play. I don't know if there's a little bit of a come down from that. Denver has just been sitting around for a week and a half, literally, waiting to play that game.
Yeah, Miami missed some open threes in the beginning. Their overall three-point numbers are okay. I think they shot 33% from three. But they missed a lot early when the game was in doubt. Obviously, they made a bunch in the fourth quarter when the game was kind of, you know, over. But early in that game, they missed some open threes. And that's going to have to be there. I don't see how they can slow down the Denver offense any more than they did. You know, Mark Jackson on the broadcast talks a lot about you may just have to turn Jokic into a scorer.
Mm-hmm.
Like, look, we're not going to let you get 14 assists.
Yeah.
If you want to score 50, go ahead and score 50, but we are not going to let everybody else get off in this game. I don't know if that's any better or worse. You know, just put the load on Jokic and say, look, you can't pass. You're going to have to score. And we know you can. We know you'll score a lot, but it's better than us giving up a bunch of threes and a bunch of backdoor cuts and layups and dunks that we were giving up in this game. It'll be interesting to see Miami's adjustment on the offensive end. They just got to hit some shots. That's what carried them through the first couple rounds of the playoffs. That's what carried them in the first three games against Boston. They kind of lost that three-point shooting as Boston came back in that series. But I think Strus was 0-9. Jimmy Butler did not have one of these Jimmy Butler type games that he's had in the playoffs, and he's really been struggling since he sprained his ankle. So I don't know. I look at this series and just say I'm not sure Miami has any answer to what Denver can do offensively.
We'll get into that more here in just a little bit. But third thing here at 3 o'clock, the soccer tournament, the TST, is taking place. First ever one taking place at Wake Med Soccer Park in Cary. 32 teams all from around the world. They're already into the round of 16 because these games happen so fast. They're playing multiple games in a day, these teams are. But a storyline coming out of that, we see Dallas United, which is a semi-pro club made up of collegiate soccer players, withdrawing from the tournament, Brian.
Yeah, unfortunately, this story is going to overshadow the first tournament, I fear.
Yeah. But at least the first day of it.
Last night in the West Ham United game, West Ham is a club over in the Premier League.
Mm-hmm.
These are some retired players. It looks like guys, you know, older players are playing for their team. There was an incident in the middle of that game. Dallas was up 2-0 where, you know, there was a racial slur or alleged racial slur used by a Dallas player, it appears, against a West Ham player. There was a confrontation on the field. Play was suspended. Eventually, the Dallas team has withdrawn from the tournament. The West Ham team played again this morning, won their game, but they are not advancing. And some of their players came out and spoke about the incident after. We'll have some of that sound later in the show. But I don't know. I feel good that the TST sort of handled it as quickly as they did, as promptly as they did. Kind of put it behind them as best they could, but hate that this event, the 7-on-7 soccer tournament for $1 million, attracted a lot of attention here. I think sold out here in a soccer crazed kind of area. Hate that this incident, and we still don't know exactly what was said.
We don't fully know. We're not going to speculate or project.
Hate that's gonna be what this first tournament may be known for. It's gonna bar the event a little bit.
Time will tell regarding that. But it saddens me that this is still a conversation.
And soccer does have an issue with this. I mean, you know, particularly in Latin America, particularly in Europe, there have been lots and lots of incidents of racial slurs being used in games by fans chanting. So this is something that soccer has had to deal with globally. This is not unique to this TST tournament. TST tournament concludes on Sunday night with a $1 million championship game. The round of 16 is happening tonight. quarterfinals and semifinals tomorrow, and then on Sunday will be the championship game. And we talked to the head of the founder of this,
yeah,
and he talked about if nobody scores, they start pulling guys off the field. Well, they got down to 2-on-2 in one of the games.
Did they really?
Yeah, yesterday.
That's fun. It's unique how this tournament is set up. We'll dive more into it.
Thank you for listening to the Best of the Drive podcast. I'm Tim Donnelly here with Coach Pete DeRuda, America's wealth coach and best-selling author. Coach, one of the big questions I always hear is, do I have enough money to retire?
Well, maybe, maybe not. The most important thing is you have lifetime income you can never outlive. We'll design that plan for the next 10 people who call. No cost or obligation. Put yourself in control of retirement.
Call 800-691-3215. You can also text Tim to 600-700. That's T-I-M to 600-700. You'll hear from Coach Pete and the Capital Financial Advisory Group.
Something that the SEC is doing, I think, is actually going to benefit the ACC. That's Brian Murphy, Dennis Cox here with you this afternoon on 99.9 The Fan. Miss any of the conversations, check it out on the Best of 99.9 The Fan podcast. Brian, something that the SEC is doing with their football schedule. We know that with conference realignment, Texas, Oklahoma are going into the SEC come 2024. So next football season. Okay, not this upcoming year, 2024, next year. They're getting rid of divisions, which we're seeing the ACC doing that this year. Big Ten's also doing it. 100% on board. Pac-12's already done it. 100% on board with divisions. Are you on board with divisions?
Yeah.
Bye-bye Coastal. Bye-bye Atlantic. I am okay. I'm 100% on board with the way the scheduling is being done.
Well, it's led to a lot of problems in the SEC in particular because
it has.
The West is so much better than the East.
Well, they're getting rid of divisions, and they're going to stick with an 8-game conference schedule. You're like, okay, Dennis, why does that matter? Who cares? Here, I'll explain. I'm going to explain why this matters and why it's important to the ACC. If the SEC went to 9 conference games, well, guess what? They're down to 3 non-conference games. And you know they're not going to schedule 2 or 3 Power 5 non-conference games. They're just not going to do it. Because they say, SEC is hard enough as it is. We don't need to schedule. Guess what? You'd schedule 1. And that's it. And you know you're going to get, for example, South Carolina's going to play Clemson, that regional or that in-state rivalry. Georgia Tech's going to play Georgia. Florida State's going to play Florida. Well, that means like the Duke's Mayo kickoff classic between Carolina and South Carolina, or we've seen with NC State and South Carolina, that game doesn't happen anymore because they're going to schedule a FCS school as well as a group of 5. That's how it's going to work. So a lot of ACC-SEC matchups would potentially go away. For example, Virginia's playing Tennessee this year down in Nashville. That game probably wouldn't be scheduled if the SEC had 9 conference games. So that brings up my point about this is that if ACC football wants to elevate itself, you have to play against SEC schools. Simple as that.
Well, you have to win.
and win them, too.
Right, because they play a lot of games against the SEC. They don't win a whole bunch of games against the SEC. I think it's a horrible – I understand where you're coming from, and I think it's great for the ACC in that terms.
Yeah.
The ACC only plays 8 conference games in large part because they say, well, half of us have to play Notre Dame every year.
Yeah.
And a lot of us have to play an SEC team every year. So, in essence, we're really playing 9, you know, P5 games.
Yeah.
And so we need the schedule flexibility. The SEC is sticking with 8 at least for 2024, basically because ESPN's not paying them to go to 9.
There's that.
But I think it's a terrible move by the SEC.
Oh, really?
I mean, you've got a 16-team conference. You're only playing 8 games, and you're only protecting 1 rivalry. So that means if you're Texas, your rival that's protected is Oklahoma.
Okay.
How are Texas and Texas A&M in the same league not going to play every year?
I could say the same thing about the ACC. How does NC State and Duke not play each other every year when they're 30 minutes down the road? So we've seen that.
Well, right.
But we've seen
the whole reason of getting Texas is to renew that rivalry with Texas A&M, and they're not going to play every year. Now, that game will happen in 2024, and by 2025, the SEC may be at 9 conference games. Mm-hmm. But this is a real opportunity, I think you're right, for the ACC. I also think there's an opportunity this year for the ACC.
How so?
That hasn't gotten – David Teal of the Richmond paper has written about it, and I think the ACC put out their schedule for the first 3 weeks, their television schedule. Follow me here for 1 second.
Okay.
The Big Ten, which is growing as well next mm-hmm. year, is no longer affiliated with ESPN or ABC.
Yeah.
Their games are now going to be on Fox, CBS, and NBC.
Mm-hmm.
And so that leaves a whole lot of time slots open – And obviously the ESPN has a deal with the SEC, but they also have a deal with the ACC. And yeah. They need to fill a lot of time slots that used to go to Michigan and Ohio State and Penn State and Wisconsin and Iowa and you name it from the Big Ten. Those slots are suddenly open. If you look at the schedule that's been released by the networks and by the leagues, in the first 3 weeks of this season, the ACC plays at noon on ABC.
Yeah.
That Virginia-Tennessee game you mentioned, this big, big game here in Raleigh, Notre Dame against NC State, noon kickoff, ABC, full country distribution. The week three, Boston College, Florida State. You look at some of the primetime games, 7:30 on ABC. Again, a spot where Michigan or Penn State would often end up. You've got North Carolina, South Carolina, that game from Charlotte the first week. The first week, you also have Florida State, LSU on Sunday night, and Duke Clemson on ESPN on Monday night. And then the third week of the season, you have Pitt, West Virginia, and then if you look at the second week on ABC, you've got the Notre Dame NC State game at noon, followed by Miami Texas A&M at 3:30, all on ABC.
Mm-hmm.
We don't think of the ACC as needing more exposure, but man, they are getting a lot of exposure early in the season in these non-conference. Most of these are non-conference matchups, chance to really prove themselves. On ABC at noon, on ABC at 7:30, on ESPN at 8 o'clock. I mean, they are getting the prime time spots that you want for college football. So they really have a chance, I think, to change that narrative that you talked about, that it's only Clemson or it's only Clemson and Florida State that are worth anything in this league. NC State has a great opportunity there against Notre Dame in week two. Virginia, the great chance against Tennessee. North Carolina with a great chance against South Carolina. And a lot of those games are, as you say, ACC-SEC games that may go away if the SEC goes to 9.
And that's something I don't want to see happen, because we know that the SEC, again, how they would schedule would be, okay, if it was 9 conference games, I'm going to schedule my one non-conference Power 5, whomever that might be, a Group of 5 school, and then an FCS school. Just as simple as that, because that Group of 5 and that FCS school should be wins.
Yeah.
Should be wins. Simple as that. Guess what? I'm going to pay Utah State, if you're Auburn or whomever, to come out here or whatever it might be. Or I think UCLA, I think is Auburn actually heading out west, I think, for a game this upcoming season? I think maybe against UCLA. But they're playing against a Pac-12 school, which is fine. I think that's good. Like, you know what? Brand yourself cross-country. It's a good way. If you want to draw recruits from the West Coast, you got to go play. We're willing to go play those games. But nonetheless, I think the ACC gets left out if the SEC does that.
Yeah,
is the way I look at it.
At some point, the ACC may have to go to 9 games as well. They don't want to go to 9 for the same reasons that the SEC doesn't want to go to 9. If you add another conference game, that's another conference loss for half the teams in your league.
Exactly.
And so you add a 9th game, that's 9 more losses across the board somewhere that have to go somewhere. Or more than that, 14 more losses, because there's 14 teams. They each be playing an additional game. If you look at, like, Georgia has some games scheduled with Clemson. I think NC State has some games scheduled with Florida. I think North Carolina has some games scheduled with South Carolina. Those are the type of games that may come off the board. Georgia may say, we already got Georgia Tech.
Yeah.
I already got 9 SEC games, which is going to include maybe Texas, maybe Oklahoma. I mean, Alabama, Florida. And they may decide, look, we don't need to play Clemson anymore. You're right. Some of those big ACC-SEC games may go away. The one saving grace.
What's that?
TV cares about big matchups.
That's true. They do.
Want viewers. If Georgia runs a steady stream of UABs and Charlottes and Utah States onto their schedule, I think ESPN, ABC may say, hey, wait, let's get the Clemson back on the schedule. Let's game games that are really going to draw eyeballs. And with a 12-game playoff, or 12-team playoff, excuse me, it doesn't hurt you as much to have an extra loss.
That non-conference strength of schedule really is going to start to factor into things. But you might see a Georgia versus Clemson in Atlanta at the Superdome or whatever it is down there. Mercedes-Benz, whatever. Silverdome, Superdome, all that stuff gets in. It's whatever it is. Mercedes-Benz Stadium.